It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. U.S. Representative-elect Brian Stile will be sworn in on January 3rd, part of the congressional freshman class of the 116th Congress. He'll represent the first congressional district, including Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. He's filling the seat of retiring House Speaker Paul Ryan. In preparation to head to the Hill, Stile made key staff announcements last week, and he resigned his position on the UW System Board of Regents last month. As part of our series of year-end conversations with Wisconsin's U.S. House members, we have him on the line now. Congressman-elect Stile, welcome to the program. Oh, and he is not there. So meanwhile, while we try to get him, is he there? Hello?
Representative? Morning.
Good morning. I'm so glad we have you. Well, let's first start with the most pressing news that has started to evolve here over the course of the weekend. On Friday, a federal judge in Texas ruled the entire Affordable Care Act unconstitutional, and that ruling would overturn Obamacare. What is your reaction to that ruling?
I'm following that closely. It looks like a case that is likely to be appealed and will play out over a period of time in the courts. I think what we need to do when Congress starts here January 3rd, when I sworn in on the 116th Congress, we need to get to work to determine how can we lower the cost of health care to make it more affordable and more accessible to people here in southeast Wisconsin. That's what I'm focused on. I'll continue to follow the case that came out of Texas. But from all indications, it looks like there's a long way to go yet through the appeals case for that case.
Well, you've said that addressing health care costs is a top priority. What does that look like for you? Flesh it out.
Well, for me in particular, I would like to allow individuals to control more of their health care dollars. I think as you look at HSAs, that's an example where we have the opportunity to put health care decisions back in the hands of patients and doctors, which will ultimately work to try to lower costs and increase quality.
There's at least a half dozen proposals in Congress that address very different healthcare systems, and among them is this idea of Medicare for all. Is there something that you're watching there and considering supporting?
I don't support a government takeover of healthcare, and I think that there's a real contrast in ideas. I think as you shift in towards this idea of what people are calling Medicare for all, if we step back and look at what that is, it's a government takeover of healthcare. It's rough math. It's a $32 trillion program. And if you have the government step in, what you're going to see is an explosion of costs, and you're going to see healthcare being actually less affordable and less accessible to individuals. We need to keep in place a process where patients and doctors have decision-making authority and putting at risk, really, if you look at Medicare for All, what it does is it shifts everyone on to Medicare, which is already a program that's struggling under financial constraints currently. And so you really jeopardize seniors who are currently relying on Medicare more than anything else. I think that's the wrong direction to go.
Well, let's circle back for a moment. You've been involved in orientation and other preparations for your new job before the swearing in on January 3rd. What has that been like? How are you ramping up on the Hill?
We're getting ready to go, so I'm ready to go January 3rd. And so we've had 2 weeks of orientation. Some of that is some of the House leadership elections that are still ongoing, you know, with the Democratic side. Getting your feet ready to go, getting your staff in place, offices ready to go. And so my focus has been making sure that come January 3rd, at the start of the 116th Congress, I'm able to hit the ground running. I feel comfortable with where we're at. We got a little bit more work to get done here before we get to January 3rd. But it's this moment in time where you get to prepare and set the team so we can hit the ground running come January 3rd.
How do you plan to serve your constituents? Will you be, for instance, someone who goes back home and holds town halls? Or how will that look like?
I'm looking forward to, living in southeast Wisconsin and Janesville. So I'll commute back and forth and be in Wisconsin as much as I can, other than when I'm required to be in Washington, D.C. for work. Also, I think there's a real opportunity to continue a tradition of constituent services here in southeast Wisconsin. So that was Paul Ryan, and before that it was Les Aspin, who had a great tradition of serving constituents. And so that means if you have a problem with the federal government's red tape, if you have a problem obtaining your Social Security benefit, or you're a veteran who earned benefits but are struggling getting them from the federal government, you can call our office, help navigate the federal government's red tape. It also means, as you noted, town halls. And so I've committed to doing town halls as kind of as I did throughout the campaign, spending a lot of time listening to people. There's no better way to understand the needs and concerns of the people here in Southeast Wisconsin than going out and having a robust conversation and the ideas and policies that we need to put in place to continue moving our country forward.
We're talking with Representative-elect Brian Stile, who will represent the 1st Congressional District. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have for him? What challenges do you think face the next Congress? Immigration, border security, top issues facing Congress right now. What do you think is a solution? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org. You said during a recent interview on WTMJ that the first call you received after the Associated Press called the election was from Speaker Paul Ryan. What advice has he given you about serving in Congress?
More than anything, I think you look at Paul Ryan, and I think there's two things. One is you can disagree without being disagreeable. I think there's an ability to have a tone and an adult conversation, a kind of a Wisconsin communication style, if you will, that I think would allow Washington to get more work done. So I think I can bring that to the table. The other thing you learn from Paul Ryan, probably more on a personal level, is, you know, I always say, get your homework done. And so there's some individuals that, you know, will go and vote and come back. There's other individuals that will actually sit down, read the policy, understand it, put in the work and the effort, you know, kind of on the homework side, so that you can be as effective as possible on the policy side. And that's an area that I've kind of done throughout my life and look forward to doing when Congress starts here come January 3rd.
Well, a lot of people want to talk with you. Let's go to Rick in Evansville first. Hi, Rick. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. Yes, Representative Stiles, I have a question about the health care. How do you imagine that having some faceless, nameless insurance company executive decide what doctors I can see and what procedures they'll cover is better than having Medicare simply administer the funds so I decide what doctors I see, what procedures I'm going to have, and the government simply is the accountant that pays the bills?
Rick, thanks so much for the call. Representative-elect, go ahead with your thoughts there.
Rick, I'm glad you asked the question. I get asked this a lot, and I think what we see is there's an idea that the only two options are between big government and big insurance. And what I would like to see is shift away from both of those. There's flaws in both of those paths, and shift it back to a decision-making process between patients and doctors so patients can receive the best care that they need. And I think in large part a step in the right direction on that is these health savings accounts where individuals control some of their health care dollars and can make the decisions that are in their own best interest. And I think that addresses a lot of your concern, right, which is how do you get away from the big insurance companies controlling all the decisions and how do you get away from the big government controlling all the decisions? And to me, the answer is putting those decision-making back in the hands of patients and doctors.
Rick, thanks so much for the call. Let's turn our attention to border and immigration for a moment. We've seen a meeting with top Democrats, Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer, and the president about this border wall. What is your takeaway from that situation where the president wants $5 billion and Democrats want a little over $1 billion and change?
As we look at our immigration needs, I do believe we need to secure the border as a key component of our national priorities. And so I support the president in that regard. As I look at the negotiating style, this is a little bit of what frustrates me. This is Democrats and Republicans alike, is where we threaten to shut down the federal government. And so I think that there is a path where we can come together and address both border security, but also finding the way to get to an answer where we can continue to keep the government open and operational. I think that's a critical aspect as well.
So how do you walk that line? How do you keep the government open and still satisfy border security?
Well, I think in large part it puts pressure on the House and the Senate to produce bills that cover and identify the priority of Congress. And so I think it's a process of people coming back together and sitting down and determining how can we get spending bills in place that address the real needs of the nation. And so I talked a lot about on the trail, if you look at Wisconsin as an example, in Wisconsin, if we get to the end of a budget cycle and for whatever reason the legislature and the governor of Wisconsin can't agree on a budget, we don't shut the state government down. What we do is we continue operating at the same spending levels as last year. That's not a real thoughtful process, but it's better than shutting the government down. In D.C., we have an approach where the default option, if we can't reach an agreement, is the government is shut down. I think there's an opportunity to take a little bit of that Wisconsin-style approach and shift the underlying default rule and ultimately force people to come together to a resolution rather than being able to risk the federal government being shut down.
So how do you plan to work with President Trump and with other members of your party? What is your approach?
I think I can rely in large part on my background working in the private sector. In the private sector, there are no political parties. It's just people trying to get things done. I've spent the last 10 years working in the manufacturing sector. You think about problems that come up in a factory every day. Nobody cares about political and partisan divides. You're trying to figure out about how do you solve the problem in front of you. I also look to go back to my time on the University of Wisconsin Board of Regents. While I was on the board, there were appointees from Walker and appointees from Doyle, and everybody got along. That doesn't mean everybody voted the same way, but everybody got along. We were able to find things to drive towards solutions. I always said to myself on the board, before I voted, I always said, is this in the best interest of students? And if it was in the best interest of students, I voted yes. If I thought it wasn't in the best interest of students, I voted no.
I'm going to jump in right there. We're talking with Republican Congressman-elect Brian Stile, who will represent Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District. You have a line at 800-642-1234. We'll get back to the conversation in just a moment on the Ideas Network.
Here's a look at the weather forecast as we start out the week. Mostly sunny today, breezy in the northeast. We'll have highs in the low to mid 30s. Tuesday will start out sunny with increasing clouds in the afternoon, highs in the mid to upper 30s. Wednesday, cloudy with a chance of rain, possibly mixed with snow in the northern part of the state, highs in the mid 30s. And for Thursday, rain in the morning, rain mixed with snow in the afternoon, highs in the mid 30s to near 40. This is WPR.
Up next, there are many ways people manage stress and reduce the overall pressures of day-to-day activities at home and at work. We learn where stress comes from and get tips on how to feel more grounded. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We're talking with Republican Representative-elect Brian Stile as he prepares to be sworn in on January 3rd. It's part of our series of year-end conversations with Wisconsin's congressional representatives. You can join in with a question, 800-642-1234. Let's go back to the phones now with Jagdish from Germantown. Hi, Jagdish.
Hi.
Go ahead.
Good morning, Ryan. This is Jagdish from Germantown. Congratulations. And I have a question. Like, nowadays, both parties are extreme, and I just heard you that and I hope that you work as a bipartisan for the next coming Congress to pass some of the legislation that will ultimately benefit the U.S. population. So are you ready to do that, or you will work on the party line?
Right. So I think he's saying, you know, are you going to work across the aisle here or contribute to more gridlock that we're seeing?
I'm looking forward to working with anyone who can advance our needs here in Southeast Wisconsin. And so I come in, I'm not worried about partisan labels, Republican or Democrat. I'm worried about trying to get results done on behalf of the American people. And so I think that's, again, you can rely on your background. I've never been elected to office before. I've been in the private sector. And I think if you rely on that private sector grounding where there aren't partisan politics, people are just looking for solutions to get things done, I think ultimately we'll all be better off in Washington.
So, Brian Stile, what issues do you hope to focus on first during your time in Congress? What are your top priorities?
Well, we talked a little bit earlier about how do you lower the cost of healthcare to make sure it's more affordable and more accessible to people. Another area I'd like to really work on is addressing the skills gap. We've seen pretty significant economic growth here in Wisconsin, but we need to make sure that everyone is prepared and ready to obtain the jobs of the future so they can obtain a higher wage or a better job. And so I take my background working on education policy. I think there's a real opportunity in Washington as we look at how do we allow the local decision makers here in Wisconsin the flexibility they need to be able to address the skills gap head on so people are able to earn a higher wage or a better job.
And your district is home to Foxconn. There's going to be a lot of skills needed for those jobs, perhaps shifting skills. So, you know, with workforce issues on your mind, what are you going to do to make sure your constituents have the skills they need to fill these jobs and future jobs?
It's a great question. So if you look at that I-94 corridor, really from the Milwaukee Airport down to the state line through Racine and Kenosha County, you identified Foxconn, and there's a number of companies coming to that area. What we need to do, in my opinion, more than anything, is allow the local decision makers the flexibility to be able to prepare workers for the jobs of the future. So we need to provide flexibilities right into, say, UW Parkside, sitting in Kenosha County, into the technical schools, into the high schools, so they're able to have that flexibility. Currently, there's a lot of federal government red tape that slows down our local decision makers and being able to really make sure that individuals have the skills and the preparation they need to be able to take advantage of the economic wave we're seeing here in Southeast Wisconsin.
And speaking of Foxconn and the other businesses growing up around it, what is your role in making sure that Foxconn follows through on its promise to create jobs?
Well, a lot of that contract is between Foxconn and the state government. And so the state government will be really taking the front of making sure that contract comes all the way through. What I'm focused on is making sure that we have a regulatory environment and that we have policies in place at the national level to make sure that these types of companies are investing in our home communities. And you want to encourage these companies to invest in our home communities because it ultimately helps workers obtain higher wages. What we want is companies competing for the best and brightest workers, which will ultimately drive wages up. And so that's really what I'm focused on, is making sure we have policies and regulations in place at the federal level that encourages businesses to come here into Southeast Wisconsin to invest, which will ultimately drive up wages for workers right here.
House Speaker Paul Ryan has said that one of his biggest regrets was not paying off the national debt, paying it down. And in light of shutdown talks and your interest in efficient government spending, where do you come down on the national debt?
We need to get the size and scope of the federal government under control. So I think there's a real need to have a look kind of in a nonpartisan way as to how are we going to bring our federal government back into really into our means. And so if you were a family, you'd never spend way beyond your means year after year. And so, but that's what the federal government does. And so we need to have a look at how do we get our spending under control. And I think there's a need to put in place a process that allows Democrats and Republicans to come together to have that conversation so we can productively start to work to reduce the size and scope of our government and make sure that the next generation is not saddled with debt kind of day one when they're born here and become taxpayers themselves.
Let's turn now to China and trade. We've seen talks about the trade war, tariffs, tit-for-tat tariffs going back and forth and really hurting Wisconsin farmers. What role does Congress have in finding a resolution with China and the impact on businesses and Wisconsin farmers there with these tariffs?
That's a key priority of mine. How do we get other countries to really reduce their barriers so American workers and American farmers can sell their products around the globe freely and fairly and reciprocally? And so what the president's done is kind of shaken this process up and said, okay, there's been unfair trade agreements historically. We need to shake it up and bring these countries back to the table to negotiate trade deals that are in the best interest of American workers and American farmers. We've seen some progress with our allies, with Canada and Mexico. We're seeing some progress with the EU. I would like to see us get through those with the allies as quickly as we possibly can so we can lower these barriers to trade and tariffs, then focus in on China, and again with the same objective of lowering the barriers between the United States and China so that American products that are made here or grown here are able to be traded freely and fairly and reciprocally.
We had Mike from Milwaukee who called in and wanted to know, how do we hold businesses accountable to train the workers and fill the skills gap?
I think it's a multifaceted approach as to how we address this skills gap. So I think there's a need for the educational side and the public sector side, whether or not that's high schools, that's effective technical colleges, and that's productive four-year universities. But also, as you begin to see the competition for high quality and the best and brightest workers, you're seeing businesses invest in the development of their own workforce, which is a positive thing. And so in Southeast Wisconsin, you see Amazon bringing in technical college training right into the Amazon distribution warehouse. You see this in the trades with electricians and carpenters and others who are working hard on apprenticeship programs. And so as we continue to have economic growth where we have competition for the best and brightest, we see kind of a multifaceted approach, both on the private sector side, as the questioner asked, which is these companies pulling in educational training into their businesses, but also puts a real focus on the importance of making sure we're producing a high-quality, effective, and affordable education product for people as they're going through our school system.
Brian Stile, what is your New Year's resolution for Congress?
The New Year's resolution is we should put, you know, some of the partisan bickering aside and really dive in and focus on how do we reach resolutions and work on the interests and on the behalf of the American people.
And finally, what will be your toughest challenge in your new job? Because you're coming from the private sector. What do you think you're going to grapple with?
I'm going to grapple with some of the cynicism that I see amongst people, but in particular folks in Washington, that we can't make a change. There's 90 new freshmen coming in this class of Congress. It's about 20% of the entire House of Representatives, so will be new faces. I'm still optimistic that we can really change the tone in Washington, and I think it's going to be a struggle against some people who are real cynics, that's not an opportunity that is there.
Well, Representative-elect Brian Stile, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Brian Stile is the Republican U.S. Representative-elect for Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District that includes Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. It's part of our year-end conversations with lawmakers. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. It's The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.